Well, dear friends in Christ, who are blessed to be the light in the Lord, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have some questions this morning that I would really like all of us to think about and to wrestle with today. The questions are simply these. What difference does it make in our daily life that we are a Christian? Should being a follower of Jesus change us? Or is it only difference that we have between a Christian and a non-Christian is that we go to church once a week and they stay home and sleep in their beds? Should there be a change in our life? Is there a change in our life? Is the change a minor one, or could it be a major one? If someone followed us around on any day of the week but Sunday, would they know that we are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ? And should they know that we are a follower? Is the change in a Christian merely something on the inside, or is it also something that is or should be evident on the outside of each one of us? Is the difference only in our destiny, or is it in our daily life? Is the difference only in our heart, or will it also be in our daily words and the things that we do? What difference then does it make that we are a Christian? Keep those questions in mind now as we turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter that was read in our epistle lesson for today. For the book of Ephesians is a book of pure gold. In fact, I would encourage each one of you in this coming week to read through the book of Ephesians at least three times. You will find plenty of answers to life in that book. Some of the biggest questions in life are answered for us there. And before answering the questions that we are thinking about today, those questions have already been answered in that book. Who are we? How does God feel about us? What does God do for us? Paul explained that we are by nature dead in our sins and we are selfish creatures. Why? Because most of us live to please ourselves. We are therefore by nature objects of the wrath of God. However, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. And this comes first. For Paul, the most important thing is being rooted and established and growing in Christ's love. And so we need to remember to keep coming back to that basic truth of Christianity. We are saved by God's grace, not our own efforts. We are saved by faith and not by works. So how can it be that a God who loves us so much that he would do this for us, we poor miserable sinners that we are? And so we are going to focus on that love. We're going to focus on growing in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the appreciation that he has for us. For that is job number one for Christ, and it is job number one for the Christian church. But well, what else is there? Is that it? Having established our identity as dearly loved children of God, do and we know of his unconditional and his immeasurable love for us, Paul is able to talk about what now. In the last half of his letter, starting in chapter 4, Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We are to live a life worthy for what we have received from the Lord. And that sets the tone for us then in the last three chapters of his letter. In chapter 5, the first verse, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. As we all know, children love to imitate their parents. Sometimes there are good things that they imitate, and sometimes, unfortunately, there are some of the bad things as we as parents teach our children. But if we are God's children, we will have an urgent desire to live like our Heavenly Father and to want to imitate our brother Jesus. And so we're going to turn our attention now to this epistle section from chapter 5. I'm going to share with you it again. And again, keep this question in mind. What difference does it make that you are a Christian? For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." In that passage, we see light and we see darkness, and they are both contrasted here. But what is light? Well, light is equal and means Jesus. Jesus, who is the light of the world. From Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, we hear these words: "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light." John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." We know that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration showed that light. He himself is light. He himself is the gospel. He is the good news. Jesus is the one who forgives and gives life and salvation to all of us and to the world who have gathered today. He is the light. One day in heaven, we will live in the glory of his light forever. Light also means his followers. You are the light of the world. You, meaning us. So those who follow are in the light and become light to the world as well. But what does it mean for us to walk in that light? There are two aspects of walking or being in the light. The first one is light means truth, intellectual truth. From Proverbs 6, verse 23, we hear these words: "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of the discipline are a way of life." And from Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light unto my" what? "Path." That's right. So if Jesus is the Word made flesh, then Jesus himself is the truth of God. And he himself is light, which, as we already have heard, he did claim that for himself. For our Lord Jesus is the light of the world. Light also means believing in the truth. We call that faith. Darkness is unbelief. From Romans chapter 1, we hear, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Light is also holy living. 1 John 2, verse 6, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." So when our daily life is in Jesus, then we are walking in the light. We do what Jesus did. And now we go back to our text, verse 8. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world." That passage tells us, first of all, and it gives us our identity. What were we? But we were once in darkness. We didn't know the Lord or his truth. By nature, we are ignorant of the gospel. We walk in deeds of selfishness. But then God called us. He called us through the gospel in word and also sacrament, which we are privileged once again today to share in. He gave us all that belongs to Jesus. He forgave our sins. He enlightened us, and he made us his children. And now we are light in the world. We're not light in and of ourselves. We are not holy and blameless by our own deeds, but we are nevertheless holy and blameless in the Lord. It is his holiness that belongs to each and every one of us here today. And we are now that light. And so he says to us, walk as children of light. And here is the answer to our question. Does being a Christian make a difference in our daily lives? The answer ought to be for every single one of us a resounding yes. We are to live as children of the light. God brought us into his light to live life in a way that reflects that light. We are his followers, and as followers, he has called us to make a real difference in this world through what? Through the life that is transformed by Jesus. But what does that transformed life really look like? Again, from our passage, we don't have to guess. In verse 9, we hear, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." Those who are in the light are no longer in darkness, but they will have fruits of light. And those fruits are listed in that verse. The first one is goodness. This refers to the moral goodness in our words and the actions that we have towards others. We will think of others. We will help others. We will encourage others. We won't simply think the best, but we will do the best for others. And so our outward actions then reflect that we are in the light. The second one, righteousness. That term has more to do with our relationship with our Lord. We will do what God enjoys, and we will not do what God hates. In that view, God has declared us to be, and this is the identity that he has given us. We will strive to become the same as our Lord. We will want to be righteous, for that's what God is looking for in each and every one of us in our daily lives here while we are on this earth. The third is truth. If we walk in the light of God's truth, then we will strive to know the truth and believe. Believe the truth of God. Live our lives up and with the truth of God. And share the truth of God with others that we come in contact with. What is real? What is right? What is true? The fruit of light is to know it. And then we are to share it. And then try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This is a very big point. Because why? Well, we presume to tell God what is pleasing to him. Words like these. Well, I just believe in my heart. Well, it seems to me, well, I believe in this circumstance that how God wants us to live is not a variable. Love him above all. Love your neighbor as yourself. How exactly do we show love for God and our neighbor? There's where we get into the word of our Lord. Study that word, where it says and tells us what to do. And we have to work at it to find out what pleases the Lord. God doesn't necessarily promise to speak directly into our hearts, but he does promise to speak to us through his word. And so this means that the changed life that each and one of us lives includes a devotion to studying the word of God, meditating on it, and more importantly, going out and putting it into practice in our daily lives. then God makes it very clear that an unchanged life is not just an option. Living like unbelievers in this world would not be possible for us. And then we go into verses 11 through 14. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So for us gathered here this morning, not only is it wrong to live like those in darkness, we should have nothing to do with it at all. We shouldn't condone it. We shouldn't tolerate it. But we are called by St. Paul to expose it. God is calling us to step up and say something. Not quietly disagree. To point out sin so that we can then turn repentant people to the forgiveness that they have in Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Most of the commentators that I took a look at said that this is an ancient Eastern hymn. Paul quotes it here to show our goal in exposing the deeds of darkness. That those who are spiritually asleep and spiritually dead might do what? But wake up and stand in the light and live. That Christ will shine on you. That many more will step out of darkness and into the light of Christ. And so we go back to our original question. Will being a Christian make a difference in our everyday lives? Well, as we look through these verses from Ephesians this morning, Paul taught us several things. Number one, God has called us out of darkness and into light. Number two, God calls us to live and then to walk also in that light, to be active in our faith and not to be passive. Number three, he wants us to live his way and not man's way. Number four, he wants us to live fruitful lives in the light, not fruitless lives in darkness. And the goal of all this is that others who are sleeping in the dark will wake up and repent and come into the light of Christ's forgiveness, just as each one of us are. Does that sound like a life or a typical life to you? Doesn't that sound like a radically different life than what the people of the world live? It's different, and it's different because as night is different from day, as darkness is from the light. In conclusion then, God has called us. He has called each and every one of us to make a difference in the world. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, shine with the light. Shine with the light of Jesus. In our view of the world, in our words, in our actions, let us live for Jesus. Let us live in Jesus. Let us live to Jesus. We are to live then as children of the light. In his precious name, amen. And now we are blessed by God because he has not rejected us or removed his steadfast love from each one of us. In his name, amen.